little bit of game show music. I'm Cy Kellett, your game show host. It's time for the Catholic Answers Quiz Show, which we call the Catholic Answers Quiz Show. So glad you're here with us. We got two fine contestants on the line. And we got Carlo Broussard here with us.
You changed the name? It's Catholic Answers Quiz Show?
What was it
or
before?
Game Show.
We don't actually have a name for it. We just say whatever I think of at the moment.
You caught me off guard there. You caught me by surprise.
Yeah, well, inconsistency is a consistent feature of what I do, Carlo.
I like that logic.
I'm going to be tempted to give out the number, but I'm not going to give out the number because it's time for the game show. Carlo, of course, is a speaker extraordinaire, an apologist here, an author at Catholic Answers of several books, fourth book coming out probably this spring.
Indeed, it is. Working on the manuscript. Almost done.
Meeting the Protestant Response.
That is correct.
The name of that book, because Meeting the Protestant Challenge was one of his earlier books, as well as Prepare the Way and Purgatory is for Real.
That is right. Yep.
Well, Carlo, thanks for being here.
Well, thanks for having me, Cy. I always look forward to the Catholic Answers game show.
We had a going away party. There was cookies, there was cream puffs, there was ice cream for Brandon. I'm guessing you ate none of it.
I did eat one of the cream puffs.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Oh, Carlo,
I indulged myself.
You know that has carbs in it, right?
I know. Okay. And I ate a macadamia nut cookie.
Whoa!
I went twofold, baby.
It's going to be a tough weekend in the Broussard household. Dad's going to be grumpy. He's had carbs. All right. Well, how about we'll meet our... let's do it this way. I can't, because I honestly haven't done the game show in so long. I'm going to introduce our contestants, and then we'll do the rules. Does that sound right, Darren? Okay. Matt and Kelly are our contestants. We'll start with Matt. Matt, are you there?
I'm here.
Matt, thank you very, very much for being with us. Where are you, and what's interesting about you?
I'm in Columbus, Ohio, and what's interesting about me is I actually have a Catholic Answers celebrity guest with me here myself. I'm going to just let my boy Dominic say hello to you again, Mr. Kellett. 1 second.
Hello, Dominic.
Hi.
Oh, Dominic, you are a superstar. Hi.
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 That's very cool.
Hey, Matt, I got to be honest with you. He can't help, though.
Oh, go ahead.
I know that he's there with you, but you are not allowed to get any help from him.
Okay, well then, I'll make sure he's in the other room okay. So that he doesn't get me any answers. But, you know, he is a Catholic Answers pro at this point after his call with Mr. Aiken a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Wonderful. Matt, we're so glad you're here. And Columbus, Ohio, are you a part of that blizzard that's coming through the country or no?
I do know it's going to get really cold here tomorrow. But I also know that Columbus is about the most Catholic city I've ever been in the United States. So it's a great place to be.
Really? I didn't awesome. Know that. I got to go to Columbus, Ohio.
There you go.
Our second...
We got it going on around here.
Do you? Very good. All right. Our second contestant is Kelly. Kelly, are you there with us?
I'm here.
Hi, Kelly. Where are you and what's interesting about you?
Well, I'm in Peaster, Texas. And during the week, I teach pre-K 4. And on weekends, I teach the First Communion Sacramental Preparation class at my parish. I've been married to my wonderful husband, Will, for 23 years, and we have a beautiful daughter, Elena. And my Sunday morning after Mass delight is a hot cup of coffee, a maple glazed donut, and a not too hard, not too easy crossword puzzle with a smooth writing pen.
That's cool.
Matt, I got to tell you right now, we're going to favor Kelly. She teaches the CCD class, so we're definitely going to favor her. Matt.
She had that down, man.
I know, that was
very
good.
Well ordered.
You
ABC,
are interesting, and
EFG.
I'm down with the maple donut. I mean, come on. I'm totally down with
I think that beats the cream puff I had, right?
Yeah, probably. Well, welcome to both of you. Wait, you got to say the name of the town in Texas, because I did not recognize that town.
Peaster, Texas.
Peaster, where is that?
It rhymes with Easter.
Rhymes with something else, too, but I'm not saying it on the radio. Go ahead.
It rhymes, or it's north of Weatherford, Texas.
I know that seems helpful when you say that, but... That doesn't
okay.
mean...
Well, we're near Fort Worth.
Okay, there we go. I've heard of Fort Worth. Yes, right.
Yes.
All right, glad to have you both. I'm going to go over the rules, and then I'm going to ask you if the rules make sense to you. And if the rules make sense to you, we're going to start playing the Catholic Answers Quiz Show. sometimes called the Catholic Answers Game Show. Catholic Answers Quiz Show is three rounds, round one, round two, and then the final judgment. The last round is called Final Judgment. The last round is only played by one of you. Whoever wins the first two rounds goes on to their final judgment. Final judgment is seven true or false questions, and there are no lifelines. You just got to get them right or wrong, true or false questions for your final judgment. In other words, you're on your own for your final judgment. However, in the first two rounds, you will each be assigned two lifelines. When you use a lifeline, well, we actually, I should have called it what we usually call it, an after lifeline, because it's the Catholic Answers quiz show. If you use a lifeline, it's gone. It doesn't come back in the next round. So you're going to get three questions in the first round, three questions in the second round. They're all multiple choice. And here are the two after lifelines. First, you can just ask Carlo to eliminate one wrong answer. Just he'll take one out. That'll give you a 50-50 shot at it. Or you can ask the other after lifeline is you can ask Carlo just to give you the correct answer. Is that all clear?
Sounds yes. good to me.
All right. Did I tell him all the rules? Was there anything missing?
I'm silent.
Do either of you know if I was missing a rule?
I'm island
the safe. The Pig Latin.
The Pig Latin, Kelly, yes. When Carlo gives you the correct answer, he has to do so in Pig Latin or in the closest approximation of Pig Latin that Carlo is capable of. Also, if we're tied at the end of rounds one and rounds two, I will put two boxes out, box A and box B. And I don't know who's contestant number one. Is it Matt or Kelly? Who do we just go with whoever we called first? Who'd we call first, Matt or Kelly? Kelly, all right, so then Kelly will pick a box, and whatever the box says, that's who goes on to the final judgment. All right, let's play. Let's play a little bit of the Catholic Answers Game Quiz Show. Kelly, you are contestant number one. This is your first question. The souls in heaven, Kelly, the souls in heaven. Oh, by the way, I'll read each question twice. Let me read it twice because folks are playing along at home. As a matter of fact, if I didn't say so, we encourage you to play along at home. We encourage you to get a piece of paper and a pencil, sit down at the table, wake up the grandma and grandpa, call the kids, gather around, and we'll all play the Catholic Answers Quiz Show. Question one, the souls in heaven, A, live in perfect hope, B, no longer have the virtue of hope, or C, hope for things which are beyond our imagining. Once again, Kelly, the souls in heaven, A, live in perfect hope, B, no longer have the virtue of hope, or C, hope for things which are beyond our imagining.
Well, I would think if they're in heaven, they don't need the virtue of hope. I'm thinking B.
Good job, Kelly.
She didn't say B. She said, I'm thinking B. And then you guys gave it to her. We're going to need Kelly to be more definitive. Very good. Explain that, Carlo.
Well, if you look at the definition of hope, so Kelly was right on track there. So the Catechism defines hope, the theological virtue of hope in paragraph 1817, as the theological virtue by which we desire the kingdom of heaven and eternal life as our happiness. So once we enter into the kingdom of heaven and have eternal life of definitive happiness, there's no longer a desire for it because we possess it. And since there's no longer the desire for it, there's no longer the virtue of hope. And along with the theological virtue of hope, the theological virtue of faith is no longer because we no longer believe based upon testimony, because we have a direct knowledge in having the beatific vision. So faith goes away as well. And the only one that remains...
The greatest of these is love.
That is correct. Charity.
Caritas. That's the way I like to say it.
I sound so much more sophisticated.
I'm so fancy in my virtues. All right, Matt, your first question from round one. Again, I'll read it twice because folks are playing at home. Mary, the mother of God, was sinless, which means A, she always saw the face. She always saw God face to face, even as a child. B, she was saved from sin before falling into it. Or C, she had a nature that was incapable of sinning. Once again, Mary, the mother of God, was sinless, which means A, she always saw God face to face, even as a child. B, she was saved from sin before falling into it. Or C, she had a nature that was incapable of sinning. Matt?
B. she was saved from sin before falling into it.
And he did not hesitate.
There was no hesitation. He didn't say, I'm thinking. Sorry, very Kelly. Good. I don't mean to harp on that. Explain that, Carlo.
Yeah, well, I must say, you did a very good job with the options here, right? Because you spelled out the three ways in which one could not sin. The first of which is the beatific vision. So the blessed in heaven, they have the beatific vision. They're incapable of sinning, correct? Because of that special grace that is given to them in the beatific vision. Mary did not have that while she was here on earth. The last one, you said she had a nature that was incapable of sinning. That would apply to Jesus alone. Given the hypostatic union, he is incapable of sinning in a way that does not apply to the blessed, nor to Mary while she was on earth. So the correct answer is by a special grace that preserves her from sinning. She still had the potential to sin, unlike the blessed in heaven with the beatific vision. But in fact, she never sinned because of a grace given to her. From the very moment of her conception, preserving her from the stain of original sin, but also coming to the age of reason, and throughout the rest of her life, a special grace being given to her by God to preserve her from falling into even personal sin. So good job, brother.
Thank
Kudos
you.
To you.
I got all theological there. I didn't even know it. But let me just ask you this. Because of that grace that she had, would it be appropriate for her to pray something like, my soul rejoices in God, my Savior?
Indeed, in the twofold manner. By way of Christ's death on the cross being applied to her in anticipation of the death of her son on the cross, to preserve her from the stain of original sin, and also by way of those merits of his death on the cross being applied to her to preserve her from personal sin. So salvation by way of preservation.
We are in the midst of the Catholic Answers quiz show. Carlo Broussard is our guest. Our contestants are Kelly and Matt. We're tied at 1-1. We'll continue right after this with the Catholic Answers quiz show.
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at Catholic.com.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
This is Anne, Program Director for Siouxland Catholic Radio, 88.1 FM. Catholic radio is more essential than ever. It provides spiritual guidance and insights and is a powerhouse of Catholic education, 24 hours per day, 365 days per year.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio, now more than ever.
Bit of Catholic Answers game show music, and Carlo Broussard here in studio with us on the line.
Were you about to say Catholic Answers game show moves?
Yeah. Oh, look at that, Carlo. Oh, what's up? That's going to break the internet if you dance like that. Don't break the internet, Carlo. On the line, Kelly.
Be like Wreck-It Ralph, right? Breaking the internet.
Kelly, who's in Peaster, Texas. Did I say it right, Kelly? Peaster, Texas?
Yes, Peaster.
Peaster, Texas. And Matt, who's in Columbus, Ohio, the most Catholic city in America, at least as far as Matt knows. Matt's watching the kids while he's doing this show. He didn't even know.
What a stud, man.
I know. He's a superstar. He doesn't care. He's like, give me the kids. Give me the game show. I can do it all. Probably washing the dishes while he's doing it. Let's go to question two of round one. Kelly, here is your second question. Kelly, the sin of lying to hurt another's reputation is called A, detraction. B, calumny. C, gossip. Once again, Kelly, the sin of lying to hurt another's reputation is called A, detraction. B, calumny. C, gossip.
I think I'll use the lifeline. Can Carlo eliminate one?
All right. I'm going to eliminate A, detraction.
That leaves you with B, calumny, or C, gossip. I will read the question again if you'd like, or you can go.
read the question, please?
The sin of lying to hurt another person's reputation is called calumny or gossip?
I would say gossip.
Oh, that's kind of a difficult one, I suppose, because maybe perhaps gossip could kind of go either way.
Yeah, you could lie and gossip.
Because gossip is actually sort of a vague concept. Now, detraction specifically in paragraph 2477, the Catechism says, discussing another's faults and failings to persons who didn't know those faults or failings without objectively valid reason. And normally we kind of think of that as gossip, right?
Yeah.
Calumny, it specifically says, remarks contrary to the truth, hence the lying, harms the reputation of others and gives occasion for false judgments concerning them. Okay?
Yeah.
So that's calumny specifically. But I think sort of in the popular consciousness, right, someone might sort of think of gossip as entailing either the lying to harm somebody's reputation,
right,
or talking about somebody's faults unnecessarily. So that's kind of a difficult one there. And in fact, the Catechism, I even, you know, when you do the word search for gossip, it's not there, right? Oh. And so it's like, what is the meaning of gossip exactly? I tend to think gossip as more of detraction, on the side of detraction as opposed to calumny. But I could see how it could go either way. So I don't know. You're the boss, man. You make the call there.
I am actually not the boss of anything, but I'm going to, okay, Kelly, because I really like you way better than Matt. I'm going to, and Matt, I say that with, I like you a lot, but you didn't mention donuts or teaching a catechism class. Let's hold a bonus.
Discrimination.
Let's hold a bonus point in reserve for Kelly. If she needs it, we can make the decision then. All right. Right now we're holding that in reserve. Okay, Kelly?
Okay, thank you.
All right, Matt, here's your second question. And I didn't really mean it about liking Kelly better. I don't want to hurt your feelings, Matt. Matt,
I understand science.
All right.
You can't turn down baked goods.
No. Oh, man. Is that because you see me on this TV screen and you're like, that is a guy who can't turn down baked goods? All right, the sin of asadia, no. Matt, involves A, sloth regarding spiritual things, B, a refusal to master lust, or C, the desire to accomplish more than others. Once again, Matt, the sin of asadia, is it also pronounced otherwise, or am I pronouncing it correctly? Because some of these Latin ones, people pronounce them different ways. All right. The sin of asadia involves A, sloth regarding spiritual things, B, a refusal to master lust, or C, the desire to accomplish more than others.
I will say A, sloth, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, sloth, et cetera, et cetera. That's very...
Well, actually, the what's interesting, it's kind
of
cool.
He's too tired to even say the rest of the answer. He's too lazy to even finish
about
sloth.
He's got the kids. He's taking care of the kids. No, but it's interesting. The et cetera part is actually important for this particular sin because notice it's sloth regarding spiritual things. So the Catechism points out in paragraph 2094, spiritual sloth goes so far as to refuse the joy that comes from God and to be repelled by divine goodness. So it's sort of this aversion to divine things, spiritual things. So rather than just being lazy, like I'm not going to pick up the clothes on the floor or something, you know,
yeah,
it's more so being lazy with regard to the things that relate me to God, spiritual things, divine things. So it has a particular quality there. So it's important to get the spiritual things in the definition of asadia or asadia.
Okay, Matt, but you are 2 for 2, all right?
All right.
All good right. job, brother.
Last question for each of you from round one. Kelly, which of the following is permitted? A, formal cooperation with evil. B, immediate material cooperation with evil. Or C, remote material cooperation with evil. Once again, Kelly, which of the following is permitted? A, formal cooperation with evil. B, immediate material cooperation with evil. Or C, remote material cooperation with evil.
I'm saying C, remote material cooperation.
Boom, nailed it.
Excellent, Kelly. Good job. I was thinking to myself, man, Si, this is a pretty tough question here, man. But
this is the only question on the quiz that you wrote, Carlo.
Well, no, you had it. I just changed it a little bit. I tried to make it easier.
Yeah.
No. Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. So remote material cooperation. Now, it's important to point out that in order for that to be permitted and morally permissible, certain conditions have to be met. So, for example, the act of cooperation by way of the material being provided is not sinful in and of itself. There has to be a proportionate reason, right? So like the cough syrup at the dollar store, if money is going to support abortion, say, or an abortion, a company that supports abortion, if that's the only cough syrup that I have and my child is sick, I would be morally permitted with this remote material cooperation to buy the cough syrup, yeah, right? And then finally, there's no danger of scandal, right? So danger of scandal has to be avoided in order for the remote material cooperation to be morally permissible. So those three conditions are important to keep in mind there.
All right. Kelly, you're two out of three plus one bonus that we're holding in reserve in case it's needed. Here is your final question of round one, Matt. Matt, which of the following is sometimes permitted? A, to refuse to do the highest good. B, to act with injustice when responding to injustice. Or C, to do evil so that good may come. Once again, Matt, which of the following is sometimes permitted? A, to refuse to do the highest good. B, to act with injustice when responding to injustice. Or C, to do evil so that good may come.
I'm going to ask Carlo to eliminate one answer, please.
All right, so I'll eliminate B, to act with injustice when responding to injustice.
So your choices are, it's permitted A, to refuse to do the highest good, or it's permitted C, to do evil so that good may come.
Okay, then I'm going to go with A, please.
Yes.
Nicely done.
Good job. Yeah, so C is that fundamental principle, never do evil in order that good may come. The refusal of doing the highest good, so this has to do with what we recognize to be on an objective level, like independent of our own personal circumstance and requirements and obligations. We can recognize something to be objectively good, but that is not something I ought to pursue right here and right now. So for example, going to Mass, being in the presence of our Lord, and receiving Him in Holy Communion is objectively better, the higher good, than, as much as I love you, Si.
Oh, come on, Carl.
Being here with you, brother.
Right. Exactly, right.
But in God's, what we would say in philosophy, in His consequent will, right, in this the circumstances of life in which He has put us, I have a duty and an obligation to be here with you.
You do.
And so I'm just going to do it, Si. Nah, I enjoy being with you, brother. But given this concrete circumstances, this is the good that I'm called to pursue, being here with you, chatting with Matt and Kelly and doing the game show. Although, objectively speaking, being at Mass, receiving our Lord, is a higher good.
Yeah, there you go.
And so it's morally permitted for me to say, no, I'm not going to leave my work right now and go to Mass, yeah, in order to pursue this good.
All right. It's two to three. After one round, Matt is in the lead. But Kelly has something that we've never done before. It's a thing that is in the actual rules. I get to make up rules. I actually, do you remember that when I wrote the official rules for this game show? Or I can make up the rules as I go. So let's go to round two. You both ready for round two?
Yes.
I'm ready.
Fantastic.
Well, you weren't that ready. That was, it took a while. Sorry to wake you both up. It's round two now. All right. Kelly, question one from round two. If you wanted to read the Bible in a year, who might you turn to? A, Matt Frad. B, Trent Horn. C, Father Mike Schmitz. Once again, if you wanted to read the Bible in a year, who might you turn to? A, Matt Frad. B, Trent Horn. C, Father Mike Schmitz.
Father Mike Schmitz.
She knew that one.
So you've heard about the world's most popular podcast, huh?
I have. It's wonderful.
It is awesome. Wonderful. Yeah, he does a wonderful job. All right, I'm gonna do a question one for Matt. I can do that before we have to go to the break. Matt, if you wanted to talk to the founder of a Catholic television network, who would you talk to? A. Pope John Paul II. B. Fulton Sheen. C. Mother Angelica. Once again, if you wanted to talk to the founder of a Catholic television network, who would you talk to? A. Pope John Paul II. B. Fulton Sheen. C. Mother Angelica.
That is C. Mother Angelica.
Woohoo!
You are correct, and that takes us right to the break.
Good job.
More than halfway done with rounds one or two. We'll see who's going on to their final judgment. Is it Matt? Is it Kelly? Right after this on the Catholic Answers Game Show Quiz Game of Shows.
Here's a question. Is it really possible to be friends with someone who died 2,000 years ago? Maybe the problem is that we've grown way too comfortable with the story of Jesus. Nice man, right? Taught us to love one another, said not to judge people. We celebrate his birthday every year. It's time to put away this small, safe version of Jesus, says Cy Kellett. Nobody that bland could have transformed the world. In A Teacher of Strange Things, Cy presents Jesus Christ undiluted by sentiment, with all his radical words and deeds uncensored. Do you know someone, your son or daughter perhaps, or maybe your mom or dad, who needs the friendship of Jesus Christ? Do you? Order your copy of A Teacher of Strange Things by visiting shop.catholic.com today or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you. Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Monday on More to Life, stress to the max.
Is stress getting the better of you? We'll help you regain control and reclaim your peace.
That's Monday on More to Life. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Yeah, you know that game show music. It's Friday. Unless you're on the other side of Dateline, and then it's Saturday. And that means game show. Carlo Broussard is here as our guest. Thanks for being here, Carlo.
Thanks for having me. And I must say, Cy, you're looking really spiffy tonight, brother.
I know. I really am.
Shirt.
I'm looking spiffy.
Sports coat.
Yes.
Man, I'm impressed.
Thank you very, very much. Yes.
You make me feel like a bum tonight, man, with my t-shirt here.
I don't know why I wore the coat exactly, but
looking
I did.
Looking good, brother.
Oh, thank you very much.
Love it.
You're wearing a t-shirt that says, "Who started your church?"
That's right, yeah.
And does that get you any reaction? Do people be like,
I wore it to the gym one time, and a guy was like checking out the back, because on the back it lists all the different Christian communities and their founders and stuff, and he was like, "Whoa," you know, he kind of made a face.
We didn't
engage in conversation or anything, but you know, he was checking it out.
Who founded your church, Carlo?
Well, you can ask Alexa.
That's right.
Or Siri.
That's funny because I'm...
And they say, Jesus Christ. And you know what? They're right.
Yeah. That's... Edgar and I did that the other day in the car where I was like, they always say this, try it. And he tried Google. He was like, Google, who founded the Catholic Church? And Google said, Jesus Christ.
Indeed.
So, all
and
right.
And that church did not go astray.
It remained faithful
to him.
Praise God.
Amen.
Only by the power of the Holy Spirit, though.
Indeed.
We tried, Carlo.
Speaking of scandal in the last hour,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Left to ourselves, man.
Kelly and Matt are our guests. We're only only one question missed so far of all of them, and I'm not even sure that it was missed because Carlo confused me so much on the one hand, and then on the other hand. So maybe we're going to even give a point for that. We'll see. We're in round two. Here's question number two, Kelly, for you in round two. Kelly, a sedevacantist is one who believes A, the papacy is not a valid institution. B, the present occupier of the Holy See is not a valid pope. Or C, the present pope, though valid, is captive to hidden forces. Once again, a sedevacantist is one who believes A, the papacy is not a valid institution. B, the present occupier of the Holy See is not a valid pope. Or C, the present pope, though valid, is captive to hidden forces.
I'm going to have to ask for the pig Latin on this one.
Igpe Latin, Atin lay, Carlo.
Ooh, all right, here we go. You had to pick like one of the longest ones, Kelly.
Good job, right. Kelly. Good job.
Here we go. So the first word of all three is the. So I'm going to the and then move on. Resent pay, cupiere, foe, hete, olihe, ise, sie, atne, ae, alidve, opepe.
Opepe. Sounded Hawaiian there at the end. Did that help you, Kelly?
I think so. I'm going to go with B.
Oh, yes, good thing. Good thing, Kelly. Great job. I was hoping I didn't mess you up there.
Yeah, a sedevacantist believes in the validity of the institution of the papacy. A sedevacantist believes... doesn't believe that the present pope is actually the proper occupier of that seat.
Right, coming from the Latin sede vacante, which, you know, with the chair being vacant.
All right, question.
Okay.
Question number two. This one is for you, Matt. This is your question number two of round two, Matt. A universalist is one who believes A, all shall be saved. B, all religions are equal. Or C, Christianity is for all people at all times. Once again, a universalist is one who believes A, all shall be saved. B, all religions are equal. Or C, Christianity is for all people at all times.
I think I know, but that pig Latin was so good, Carlo. Would you mind doing it again?
Nice.
All right, so here we go. Lai hoshse ebe avedse.
Did that help you?
Clearly. Yes, I'll go with A, please.
I kind of like that avedse. That sounded right. I know. That sounded good, right?
It does. That sounds kind of Latin, avedse. That's right. A universalist believes all shall be saved.
Right. Which was condemned by the church at the Second Council of Constantinople under Pope Vigilius. Canon 9, if anyone says or holds that the punishment of the demons and of impious or impious men is temporary and that it will have an end at some time, that is to say, there will be a complete restoration of the demons or of impious men, let him be anathema. And notice the key there, that there will be a complete restoration of these two categories, demons, impious men, let him be anathema, indicating that if those men with the demons that are in hell cannot get out.
Yeah.
So not all will be saved.
Although the universalism is one of those cyclical things. It comes and goes and comes and goes, and it seems like it's having another moment right now.
Indeed it is, yeah.
All right, final question of round two for you, Kelly. Syncretism, Kelly, is the belief that A, the major world religions all formed during a special age of religious awakening. B, Christianity is the sole way to salvation. Or C, various religions can be fused into one higher religion or spirituality. Once again, syncretism is the belief that A, the major world religions all formed during a special age of religious awakening. B, Christianity is the sole way to salvation. Or C, various religions can be fused into one higher religion or spirituality.
That one's tough. I think I'll go with C, though.
She got it right. Good job.
Oh, I was waiting for you to say, yeah, that's correct.
Yes, various religions being fused together, right?
Yeah.
So it's like they're all pointing to the same thing, same reality that can be fused together. But the problem with that is some religions entail mutually exclusive beliefs, contradictory beliefs. Christianity says Jesus is God. Other religions say he's not God. So it's either one or the other.
We can't mesh that together.
That's right. So it's, one's got to be true, the other's got to be false. So you can't have those two coming together.
I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but I actually know the answer to that one. Christ is God.
Amen.
I looked ahead.
I'm glad.
I read to the
answer. I'm glad you actually gave the answer, lest some of our listeners be a bit confused. Yeah. I wasn't thinking about going that next step. Yeah. So thank you, Si.
He is. In case you're having any questions, he is. All right. Last question for you, Matt. Adoptionism is the belief that A, we are made children of God by adoption through Christ. B, the members of the Trinity are all the same, but adopt different roles in regard to us. Or C, Christ was adopted as the Son of God. Once again, adoptionism is the belief that A, we are made children of God by adoption through Christ. B, the members of the Trinity are all the same, but adopt different roles in regard to us. Or C, Christ was adopted as the Son of God.
I'm going to go with A.
Oh, no, buddy. So adoptionism, actually it was C. C was the correct answer.
So I'm going to have to take off 2 points now. Because you gave two wrong answers. So, sorry, bud.
So maybe what would have helped Matt Si would have been if you would have said adoptionism is the heresy.
Oh, well, that would have helped, yes.
That would have helped, yes.
Right, because so the first one's not a heresy.
That's right. The first one's not a heresy. We're all made children of God by adoption through Christ via grace. The correct answer for the heresy of adoptionism is the idea that Christ was created. He was born as a mere man, a non-divine man, supremely virtuous, but he was adopted later as the Son of God when the Spirit came upon him at his baptism. This was... The originator of the heresy was one named Theodotus of Byzantium in the late 2nd century in Rome, later revived by one named Paul of Samosata. And it was Theodotus was excommunicated by Pope Victor, and Paul was condemned by the Synod of Antioch in 268.
What would number two be, kind of modalism or something?
So the members of the Trinity are all the same. That would mean there's no distinction of persons, so that would be known as modalism or Sabellianism.
Yeah.
Two different words or labels for the same heresy. Adopting different roles, that is, the one God who is one person manifest himself as Father, Son, or Holy Spirit, the different roles or the modes that he takes.
It's crazy. It's just crazy.
The truth of the matter, but, for our listeners' sake, would be that there is one God, but three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
That's not the part I believe in the Trinity. That's not the part I was saying was crazy. It's crazy that we're tied after two rounds, Carlo. Tied. Woo-hoo! You know what that means? Contestant number one has to pick box A or box B, and then we look inside the box, and whatever it says, that tells us who's going on to their final.
We're
going
to leave it up to chance.
That's right. It's going to be left up
relative
to chance.
Relative to our perspective, but not chance. Relative to the divine perspective.
Thank you for coming in, Thomas Aquinas. I appreciate you.
Happy feast day.
Oh, that's right. It's Thomas Aquinas' feast day.
I was waiting for you to say something.
I'm sorry. On, that's a big day for Carlo.
Indeed, it is.
Happy feast day, Carlo.
Thank you.
Your favorite St. Thomas. I don't know if he's your favorite, but
indeed,
he's...
Indeed, he is.
Yeah. Is he? Yeah. So should we do the... Should we let Kelly pick now? Or I'll tell you what. Let's do this. Kelly, you pick A or B. And then I'll open it when we come back, and we'll see who's going home and who's staying.
Oh.
Go ahead, Kelly.
All right. I will pick box A.
Box A, I've got it in my hands. I'm throwing B away. I just threw it. We'll be right back to find out who's going on to their final judgment.
There's only one. Catholic Answers Live.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
I'm Jeanette DeMello, Editor-in-Chief of the National Catholic Register and co-host of Register Radio with Matthew Bunsen. Join us every week as we talk with the Register's expert writers and editors about the news you need to know and offer authentic Catholic insights on the important stories that impact your life. Register Radio, every Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern and Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern here on EWTN Global Catholic Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Game Show Quiz Show with Carla Bruce. Special guest Carla Broussard. I'm Cy Kellett, your game show host. On the line, we have Kelly in Texas and Matt in Ohio. We have played to a tie through rounds one or two, so we have to use the tie-breaking boxes, and Kelly picked box A. Whatever this box says when I open it, that is what happens to Kelly. Either she goes on or she goes, well, she's probably home already. I was going to say she goes home, but she just hangs up the phone and goes on with her life like nothing happened. Let me just say this. The person who I do send home, especially because Carlo is our guest, we'll get the full bookshelf of Carlo's books, all three of Carlo's currently published books. That would be Prepare the Way, Meeting the Protestant Challenge, and Purgatory is for Real.
Hopefully one of these days books. I'll write enough books to fill up a bookshelf.
Yeah.
Trent's already there. But yeah. One of these days when I'm like, almost dead. Well, maybe here, I'll catch up with Trent.
I'll make you feel better. I'm also going to give the person who's going home a copy of my one book, single book.
But it's so darn good.
That's right,
it's
Carlo.
It's equal to four or five books.
Carlo, it's the equal to four or five books. It's called A Teacher of Strange Things, Who Jesus Was, What He Taught, and Why People Still Follow Him. Kelly, are you ready for me to open the box that contains your fate?
I am ready.
Here we go. Box number. Ooh. She said A, right? I got A in my hand. Boom, 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 boom. Thanks for playing, but you are not going on to Final Judgment.
Oh,
Kelly.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You got some very fine books, though.
Yes. Yes, I look forward to that.
Thank you. You are a fantastic guest and contestant to have on.
Thank you so much, Kelly.
And thank you especially for all the teaching you do of the little ones.
Amen to that.
Well, nice, thank you, and good luck to Matt.
Prayers for your little ones.
Awesome.
Thanks.
What a good sport. Well, thanks, Kelly. All right, Matt, you ready for your final judgment?
Yes, I am.
Man who is confident.
I mean, I hope so. Yeah. Do I have time for confession?
Yeah, exactly right. Just get an anointing,
man. Is Father Hugh in?
No, Father Hugh's not in. Okay, so here's the way it works. Seven true or false questions. If you get them all right, you get the big prize, which is a $50 shopping spree at shop.catholic.com, where you can buy anything you want there, right? Did I say that right, Darren? You look like I would. Am I allowed to give that away? Also, you get Darren's car, and you get Carlos trampoline. No, you don't get those two things. So that's what you're playing for. But each question, I will say the name of a book before you start playing. Or before I ask you the question, and then if you get the question right, you get that book as well. So you have the potential to get seven books and a $50 shopping spree at shop.catholic.com. And a spree, I might be a kind of a too big a word for $50. $50 shopping opportunity, I'm going to call it.
There you go.
All right, so
I don't know, spree, that's $50. Yeah. You can get quite a few books with that.
Well, that's true, because they're not expensive, the books
right.
I have. Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
I suppose that could be a spree.
Go on a spree. All right, so you ready for your first true or false question, Matt?
I love this first one, by the way.
Do you?
Yes, I am.
All right. You are playing for Carlo's book, Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. Matt, true or false, on Palm Sunday, Jesus rode a camel into Jerusalem. Matt, once again, true or false? On Palm Sunday, Jesus rode a camel into Jerusalem.
False. He entered the city humble on a donkey.
Woohoo! Ooh, nice! I tried to downplay the word camel both times. I was like, Jesus rode a camel into, but you did very well. So you won Carlo's, you just won Carlo's book, Prepare the Way. Now,
cool.
Now we'll play for a second Carlo book. That is Meeting the Protestant Challenge.
Let me see if I can remember it. How to answer 50 biblical objections to Catholic beliefs.
Yes, there you go. That's what you're playing for now. True or false, Matt? The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are of the same substance. Once again, true or false, Matt? The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are of the same substance.
True. They are consubstantial.
Ooh, fancy schmancy.
Wow, they're consubstantial.
Good job, Matt.
I'm not giving you two books just because you use a fancy Latinate term.
The thought just occurred to me. I was like, wow, did I give this answer away earlier when we were talking about adoptionism? I may have given it away.
Oh, we do that sometimes. Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. Did he give it away, or would you have known it anyways?
I would have known that one, yeah.
Awesome.
Okay.
Yeah, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 465, gives a great summary here. The First Ecumenical Council of Nicaea in 325 confessed in its creed that the Son of God is begotten, not made, of the same substance. And it uses the Greek there, homoousios, as the Father, and condemned Arius, it goes on to say, who had affirmed that the Son of God came to be from things that were not, and that he was from another substance than that of the Father. So the Catechism there reiterating the teaching of the First Ecumenical Council of Nicaea from 325.
Matt, you're rolling right along. You're still in play for that spree. Let's go to question number three, Matt. And this time you're playing for Joe Heschmeyer's book, The Early Church Was the Catholic Church, The Catholic Witness of the Fathers in Christianity's First Two Centuries. True or false? Matt, Jesus is the rightful ruler of the universe. Once again, true or false, Matt? Jesus is the rightful ruler of the universe.
That is true.
Amen really? To that.
Not just like heaven or something? No?
No, not at all. As the Bible says, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the Catechism affirms that in paragraph 786, calling Jesus Christ, King and Lord of the universe. So yeah. There you have it.
And we even have a feast for that.
Christ the King?
Christ, King and Lord of the universe is the full name of it, of the feast.
There you go.
All right, so you won Joe Heschmeyer's book.
Now book, by the way. I was reading it earlier this morning. Fantastic stuff.
Yeah, Joe does such a good job.
Yes, he's great.
Here's one that very popular book. People, and we love to give it away too, because this is one of the most common questions we get here. Purgatory is for real. Good news about the afterlife for those who aren't perfect yet. That's by Carlo. Playing for that question number four, Matt. True or false? Jesus never told anyone to buy a sword. Once again, true or false, Matt? Jesus never told anyone to buy a sword.
To buy a sword?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to say, oh man, I guess I'm going to say true.
Oh, yeah, man. That's a trick question. Good job on this one, Si. That's a tricky one, man.
All you have to do is read and memorize all the Gospels, and you'll know these.
Yeah,
come on.
That's one of those details, like, come on, man. Luke 22:36, Jesus talking to the disciples, let him who has no sword sell his cloak and buy one. Now, you might be, I'm sure Matt was confused because he's thinking, well, didn't Jesus tell Peter in the garden to put the sword away?
Right.
So Jesus does say to go and buy one, but
yes,
many biblical scholars will say that Jesus was speaking metaphorically here.
Really?
So although he says go and buy one, so he does say to go and buy one, did he really mean to go and buy one? So,
I always got the sense that he was telling the apostles, yeah, trouble's coming.
Some of them will interpret that as a warning of the coming spiritual battle. And some of the disciples took him literally, and then some scholars will say, well, Jesus is correcting that when he tells Peter in the garden. And so he was
speaking, who lives by the sword dies by the sword.
Right. So he was speaking metaphorically when he said, go and buy one. But I suppose you could interpret it in a literal way as well.
So you're saying he could, Matt could be right or Matt could be wrong.
Well, you did say he never told anyone, and he did tell them. So the question was not what did he mean.
Oh,
so
that's true.
I think
you. How are you feeling right now, Matt?
I'll let that one go. I'll take a hit on that.
All right, I was fighting for you a little bit, Matt, but I don't think I can get you out of this one, brother.
All right, let's play for.
Apparently, I just need to read Luke again.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, there's so many. They're very rich with detail, the Gospels, and sometimes those details slip past us. Let's play for Gary Machuda's book, Revolt Against Reality, a book I highly recommend. Gary does a great job. Revolt Against Reality. You want to know what's the meaning of the times we're living in? This is the book for you. True or false, Matt? Angels sometimes assisted the apostles in their work. True or false? Angels sometimes assisted the apostles in their work.
True.
Indeed, yeah. So Acts chapter 5, chapter 8, chapter 10, right? In Acts chapter 5, I love it. You know, some of the apostles are thrown into prison. And Luke tells us at night, the angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. So yeah. Really cool, man. The angels are working in their lives in concrete ways as they still do today in our own lives.
They never got me out of prison, I can tell you that.
Well, you're just such a goody two-shoe, man. You've never been there.
All right, I got to speed it up just a little bit here, so I will go on to the next one. Now you can play for my book. We'll play for A Teacher of Strange Things, who Jesus was, what he taught, and why people still follow him. True or false? John's is the longest gospel. True or false, Matt? John's is the longest gospel.
False.
Ooh.
Wow, good.
Well, he was pretty quick on the draw there. So
I got this one wrong. You know, I had to look it up. I thought John's was the longest gospel, but Luke's is a lot longer.
No, well, I was going to ask Matt if he knew it.
I haven't read it yet.
Oh.
You just read the short gospels, leave the long one out.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, so apparently Luke has 25,640 words. Matthew has 23,343 words. I had to look it up, too. I didn't know that.
If you want to read a short one, though, Mark's only got 16,000 words. So there's always that one. All right, I'm going to get this last one in because I don't want to cheat you of anything. True or false? Oh, we'll play for Light from Darkness, the very fine book about scandals all through the history of the church from Steve Weidenkopf. True or false, the early church argued about whether to accept the book of Revelation as scripture. Once again, true or false, Matt, the early church argued about whether to accept the book of Revelation as scripture.
That is true.
Good job, Matt. Yeah, so Saints Cyril of Jerusalem, St. John Chrysostom, and Gregory Nazianzen, all three rejected the book of Revelation as scripture and inspired by God. So there was debate.
But the Holy Spirit won that debate. Always does. Always does in the end. All right, so you won 6 out of 7. You were on fire for the whole thing. Matt, congratulations on all your winnings.
Woo-hoo!
Thank you guys very much.
Well, that cheering stopped very quickly. What a disciplined crowd. All right, I'm going to make a ruling because Marie is not here. She can't stop me. She hated when I would do these things. We're giving him the $50 free, Darren.
Woo!
Throw it in there because he was such a great guest.
What a generous guy, man. You feeling it tonight,
brother?
Thank
you very much, Si.
Yeah, which book did he miss out on, too? I don't remember. Was it Purgatory's for Real?
I don't know.
We're giving you the book, too. Where's my cheering? Give me some cheering. Darren, cheering. We're giving him the book, too. Yay. Now I feel better. Thanks, Matt. We got to go. Carlo Broussard, thank you very, very much.
Thanks for having me, Si.
You are fantastic. I love doing the game show with you.
I love doing it with you as well, man.
Monday, we are back with another episode. And you know what? Joe Heschmeyer is going to be here another week, so we get his services in studio next week, too. I'm sure we'll do at least one day of two shows with Joe, and maybe more than that. Who we got on Monday? Darren, do you remember? Oh, Joe's on Monday, too. So we got Trent Horn Oh, we're going to do some atheism talk with Trent on Monday, and then we'll have Joe on second hour. Carlo, you're on with us Wednesday next week.
I think so.
You better be here. There's no I think so about it. Carlo, we'll see you then. Thanks, everybody in the booth. Thank you, Edgar. Thank you, Mary. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Darren. We'll see you next time. God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.